My name is Douglas Kanzioka. Title is, It is Time to Reevaluate the Management of Patients with Brain Metastases. Brain metastases represent the commonest of brain tumors. Over the last 30 years, there have been numerous clinical trials that provide the information and evidence for which clinicians, patients, and payers utilize to make decisions in the care of patients with metastatic brain tumors. Because there are many elements to the science that drive the clinical care of patients, it is important to understand where our data comes from, how the data was collected, and what conclusions were drawn from that data. A number of key historical misconceptions remain in place today and still drive physician and researchers' attitudes and approaches to brain metastases. It is the goal of this article to understand how these misconceptions relate to current practice. Through an understanding of the misconceptions, we can better develop the new science to improve our research efforts and therefore patient care. The first misconception includes the fact that most clinical trials did not separate the different histologies of cancer. Trials included patients with lung cancer, breast cancer, melanoma, renal cancer, gastrointestinal cancers, and other cancers in both treatment arms. Clinical trials compared surgical resection followed by whole brain radiation and compared this to whole brain radiation alone, surgical resection with or without radiation, whole brain radiotherapy with or without a radiosurgical boost, and different trials comparing different regimens for fractionated radiation therapy. Some of these also included concomitant drug therapy. It is now clear that the primary tumor histology drives outcomes significantly. Lung cancer has little to do with breast cancer, which has little to do with melanoma when it comes to the outcomes of these studies. Unfortunately, our clinical trials did not separate this information. Some of the largest and most powerful of the studies were essentially studies that included patients with predominantly lung cancer. Unfortunately, the conclusions of these studies have been extrapolated to patients with breast cancer and melanoma, despite the fact that they included very few patients with breast cancer or melanoma. The second misconception relates to the number of brain metastases identified on imaging. Many of the clinical trials separated patients into those that included only one tumor, so-called solitary tumor studies, or studies that included multiple tumors. Indeed, multiple metastases management was considered so radical that initial trials only evaluated patients with 2, 3, or 4 tumors. The concept of treating larger numbers of patients was almost considered heresy before 10 years ago. Whole brain radiation therapy was an automatic recommendation in this setting. At the same time, the clinicians did not truly measure tumor volume and thus did not have an adequate determination of total cancer burden. Certainly one small brain tumor is not the same as one big brain tumor. 10 very small tumors might total a volume of 0.3 cc's, whereas 2 2-centimeter tumors could total a volume of 5 cc's. The amount of cancer in the brain would differ dramatically. The amount of edema would differ dramatically. The chance for remote disease would be very different. The response to treatment would be very different. Nevertheless, our clinical trials heavily focus on the number of brain tumors, and this is not the best way to truly determine tumor burden. Another misconception has been that trials have assumed that cancer in the brain was a diffuse problem due to the presence of micrometastases. In this setting, if a patient was presumed to have had 3 tumors, it was understood that they probably had more, and that if imaging was performed over the next month or two, that the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th tumors would quickly be identified. For this reason, whole brain radiation therapy was an automatic recommendation to treat these micrometastases before they became apparent on imaging. High-resolution scans have now shown us that micrometastatic disease is frequently not present and therefore does not need to be treated until it is identified with high-resolution imaging. One of the other misconceptions is the toxicity related to some of the treatments delivered. Whole brain radiation therapy has often been considered the commonest form of therapy available for patients with brain metastases. In patients who live more than a year, it is thought that many patients will develop disabling cognitive problems, particularly related to memory, with concomitant loss of independence. Thus, if a patient lives long enough, whole brain radiation therapy invariably causes dysfunction. This is not necessarily true, but certainly can happen. In patients who do not receive whole brain radiation therapy, the leukoencephalopathy commonly seen on high-resolution MRI is not present, and patients typically maintain cognition and independence. What has not been present in clinical trials are adequate determinants of cognitive function, and studies going forth should include this information as an important outcome. A fifth misconception has been that most brain metastases are symptomatic. This affects the use of screening tools. In melanoma, where brain tumors frequently are identified in over 30% of patients, high-resolution MRI for screening has commonly been part of practice. With screening, tumors can be identified when small and asymptomatic and can be managed effectively without the need for surgical resection. Screening is now entering the world of lung cancer, but has not become part of the common practice in breast cancer yet. In order to identify tumors when they are small, periodic screening is one approach that can improve outcome. Whether or not this will impact upon survival remains to be seen. In summary, there have been numerous misconceptions that have been standard elements of the major clinical trials in brain metastasis management over the last three decades. In order for us to move past the findings of those studies, often derived from the misconceptions of clinical trial design, we will need to address tumor burden more specifically through tumor volume, understand the unique histologies that exist in individual patients, identify tumors while small with staging studies, utilize more sophisticated metrics of outcome rather than just survival, but also include cognition, quality of life, and neurologic function. And doing so, we will be able to significantly improve the science of brain metastasis care, and it is our hope that this will improve clinical outcomes. This is an exciting time in the management of brain metastasis because our understanding of the molecular characterization of individual tumor types is changing so dramatically.